Welcome back to D&B College. Today we're building something that sits right at the heart of a great drum and bass drop, an immense style call and response riff, with modern punch and vintage soul in Ableton Live 12. The idea is simple, but the effect is huge. We're not just looping a break and calling it a day. We're creating a conversation. One phrase speaks, the next phrase answers. The drums leave a shape in the air, and the bass steps in to reply. That push and pull is what makes the groove feel live. This matters in D&B because the best energy often comes from contrast, not from packing every moment full. When the call is clear and the response is selective, the kick stays readable, the sub stays locked, and the whole drop feels bigger. You get momentum without clutter. That's the sweet spot. So let's build it from the ground up. Start with an amen-derived break or a clean break edit on an audio track. If you've already got a break chopped into slices, even better. If not, you can slice it to MIDI later, but the main goal here is to think in phrases, not loops. We want two bars of motion, where bar one makes the statement and bar two answers it. Take a moment to chop the break into useful pieces. Focus on kick hits, snare hits, ghost notes, and maybe a tail or two. Don't try to preserve every single detail from the original loop. You're designing a phrase, not protecting a relic. Keep the main snare strong on the backbeats, then nudge a few ghost hits slightly ahead or behind the grid so the groove breathes. What to listen for here? Does it still feel human? Does the break still move like a drummer with intent, or has it started sounding too chopped and rigid? If the pocket disappears, back off. Fewer edits often sound better than more edits. Now decide who gets the first word in the conversation. You can make this drum-led, where the break makes the call and the bass answers in the gaps. That's perfect if you want more vintage jungle energy and a stronger break-centric identity. Or you can go bass-led, where the bass phrase speaks first and the drums punctuate the reply. That leans darker and heavier. For this lesson, I'd start drum-led if you want more soul, or bass-led if you want a more modern edge. Either way, keep the answer shorter than the call. That's a really important rule. If both halves are equally busy, the phrase stops feeling like a conversation and starts feeling like a wall. A good way to work is to duplicate your two-bar loop before you start changing things. Keep one version dense and one version open. That makes it much easier to judge what's actually working. In Ableton, that kind of versioning saves you constantly. Now let's write the bass response, and this is where the low-end discipline really matters. Start with a simple sub-friendly sound. Keep it rounded, stable, and mono. Make sure the sub is doing its job first before you add any flashy movement above it. Put the notes in the empty spaces around the snare and away from the busiest break accents. The bass should answer the drums, not shadow every hit. A few practical rules help a lot here. Keep the sub mostly under about 80 Hz. Use short note lengths if the low end starts getting blurry. If you're using a Reese or a mid-bass layer, keep that separate above the sub so the movement lives higher up. The sub stays solid. The character lives above it. Why this works in D&B is simple. If the bass phrase is too active in the low end, the kick loses definition and the whole groove collapses. But when the sub leaves space, the kick and snare get to speak clearly, and the phrase sounds bigger, even if there are fewer notes. What to listen for? Does the sub feel like it's locking the floor, or is it chasing the break? If the kick starts getting soft, shorten a note, move one note later by a tiny amount, or reduce overlap. Small moves matter a lot here. Now let's shape the break so it hits with punch, but still keeps some soul. A really solid stock chain in Ableton is EQ8 into Saturator into Drum Bus. Start with EQ8 and clean out low rumble below around 30 to 40 Hz. If the break feels muddy, take a little out around the low mids too, maybe somewhere in the 200 to 400 Hz range. Don't overdo it. You're clearing space, not stripping character. Then add Saturator with a modest amount of drive. Just enough to thicken the break and bring the snare forward. If it needs more density, soft clip can help. After that, drum bus can add some control and smack. Keep boom subtle or off if the sub already owns the bottom, and use the drive carefully so the hats don't get harsh. Another good option, if the break already sounds balanced, is glue compressor into saturator into EQ8. Use the glue very gently. You want the hits to feel connected, not flattened. What to listen for here? The snare should feel more forward, but the cymbals should not turn into hiss, and the kick should not lose shape. If the groove feels smaller after processing, you've gone too far. Back it off and let the transient breathe a little. Now comes the real answer phrase. If the break is the call, the bass answer should land after the strongest snare hits or just before the next downbeat. If the bass is the call, let the break answer with a fill, a chopped hit, or a small displacement in the drums. The point is contrast. The answer should feel shorter, tighter, and a little more selective than the statement. A simple phrasing idea works really well. Let bars 1 and 2 establish the groove with the break. Then let the bass answer, with a short two-note movement around the middle or the end of bar 2. Maybe finish with a tiny pickup that leads straight back to the loop start. That gives you a clean cycle, and it feels very DJ-friendly. If this is for a main drop, keep the two bar call and response repeating clearly. If it's for a second drop or a more developed section, change the answer every 8 bars. Maybe one version is a clean low mid reply, and the next version adds a higher octave, a little distortion, or a different rhythmic contour. Keep the core identity, but evolve the attitude. And here's an important reminder: if the loop starts feeling crowded, remove something before adding anything else. In DNB, the strongest idea is often the one with the most discipline. Once the pattern works, you can start giving it some performance character by resampling. Print the bass reply or the break tail into audio. This is where things start to feel a bit more like a record fragment and a bit less like a MIDI pattern. In Ableton, record it to a new audio track, then make tiny edits directly in the waveform. You can trim the front edge by a few milliseconds, reverse a short bit, or add a tiny stutter at the end of the phrase. A really useful stock chain for the resampled response is Auto Filter into Saturator into Echo. Use Auto Filter for movement, Saturator for thickness, and Echo only very lightly. You want a hint of motion, not a wash that smears the next bar. What to listen for? Does the response feel like an event now, or just a loop with effects on it? If it gets cloudy, trim the low end again and reduce the delay feedback. Keep it sharp. Now bring the whole thing back into context with the drum bus and sub. This is the real test. Don't judge it in solo for too long. Put the break, the bass response, and the sub together in the actual drop context. Then listen in mono. The snare still needs to land with authority, and the sub still needs to feel centered and stable. If the loop collapses in mono, the problem is usually a wide or facey mid-bass layer sitting too low. Keep the sub-mono. Keep stereo movement higher up, ideally above the low mids. The foundation should be narrow and solid. The texture can widen above that. This is also where you decide whether the break needs to be simpler against the bass. If the drums feel too busy, take away a ghost hit or simplify the hats. If the bass feels too polite, add a short, saturated mid layer only on the response, not across the whole phrase. A quick coaching tip here: mute the bass for 2 bars and listen to the break alone. If it stops feeling like a phrase with intent, the drum edit needs more shaping. Then do the reverse and mute the drums. If the bass still reads as a rhythm, not just a tone, you're in good shape. From there, automate small changes to keep the loop alive over 16 or 32 bars. Don't rewrite the whole pattern every time. That's usually too much. Instead, automate things like filter cutoff, saturation drive, drum bus transient feel, or whether a higher bass layer is active. Think of it like this: the first 8 bars are the cleanest and most readable version, the next 8 bars open up a little more, then you add a tiny rhythmic change or a bit more grit, and finally you strip it back before the switch. That keeps the energy moving without making the riff feel chaotic. In DNB, too much variation kills the hypnosis. Too little makes it sound looped without purpose. We want controlled evolution. Then place the riff where it serves the arrangement. For an intro into the drop, tease fragments of the call and hold back the full sub until the right moment. For the drop itself, let the full call and response land immediately so the track announces itself. For an outro, strip the bass response first and let the break carry the motion out. A strong arrangement often works in 8-bar logic. Clean intro, full drop, subtle switch up, then a second drop where the response becomes more distorted, more open, or slightly more sparse. That gives you movement the DJ can work with and a phrase the dancer can lock onto. A few common mistakes to avoid: don't make both halves equally busy. Don't let the sub overlap too much with the kick and snare. Don't overcompress the break until the swing disappears. Don't widen the whole bass if you still need the tune to hit properly in mono. And don't drown the response in delay or reverb just because it sounds exciting in solo. If it blurs the next bar, it's too much. For darker or heavier DNB, a few extra moves can really help. A restrained res layer only on the response can add menace without flattening the groove. A subtle 8 bass note can create tension, as long as it doesn't feel lazy. A slightly rougher resample often sounds more committed than a perfectly clean MIDI line. And remember, the stereo image should stay disciplined below the low mids. That's where the punch lies. So here's the big picture: build the riff like a conversation. Let the break speak clearly. Let the bass answer with intention. Keep the sub mono and simple. Use Ableton's stock tools to add punch and grit, but stop before the groove gets crowded. Then check the whole thing in context, in mono, with the drums and sub together. If it still feels effortless at club volume, you're close. That's the goal. A phrase with identity, weight, and a little bit of Warnin soul. Modern enough to hit hard, vintage enough to feel alive. Now take the 2-bar exercise and push it further. Build the loop. Make one sparse version and one slightly more active version. Resample the response. Then sketch an 8-bar arrangement variation and see how the energy changes when you open it up. Keep it tight. Keep it musical. And most of all, trust the conversation.